Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Web Sphere Support Technical Exchange Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Ms. Christy Snyder. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Stacey, and welcome everyone to Web Sphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is remote administration of queue managers using Web Sphere MQ Explorer. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. The e-meeting URL is available on the Web Sphere Technical Exchange site. Today's webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. Once you're in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, please go to the Web Sphere Technical Exchange site and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain the PDF file. You may also access the presentation by going to any IBM.com site and typing the TechDoc number 7008431 in the search box found at the very top right of the page. Once again, the number is 7008431. This call is being recorded, so you can replay it at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file, along with the presentation, will be available on the previous webcast tab of the Web Sphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. After that, the line will open for a question and answer session. Today's presenters are Angel Rivera, WebSphere MQ Distributed Level 2 Customer Support, and Beverly Brown, WebSphere MQ ZOS Level 2 Customer Support. Angel supports WebSphere MQ on Unix and Windows platforms. Beverly has been in WebSphere MQ Level 2 support since 1997 after 10 years in CICS support. She primarily supports MQ on ZOS and VSC platforms, but also supported MQ on distributed platforms. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Angel. Please go ahead.
Good morning. We want to thank you very much for attending this webcast, and we appreciate the interest that you are showing in this particular topic, which is remote administration of queue managers using WebSphere MQ Explorer. Let's go to slide number 2, please. This is the agenda for today. We are going to introduce what is the MQ Explorer, and we'll concentrate on the basic and intermediate topics, and we will not include advanced topics such as clustering. We want to provide you with value added in the PDF file, and we have a lot of notes for each slide. If you are looking at this PDF file using the Acrobat Reader, then you will see that there will be some additional details on the particular slides with additional commands. And the idea is that if you encounter, for example, an error message later on, you can do a search across the PDF file and then you can find what is the error message, probably the cause, and also the solution with the details commands, the detailed commands that you can do to solve the problem. We want to show you also two scenarios for the setup of a queue manager for remote administration. One is for the MQ administrators themselves, and the other is for people who are not MQ administrators. We'll be focusing on Unix and Windows, and we want to show you also how to add a remote queue manager to the GUI, and we'll talk about frequent setup problems and also considerations for the iSeries and ZOS. And we'll finish with questions and answers. Because of the limited capabilities in webcasts when showing too many pictures and charts, we have decided to show you only two pictures during the entire presentation. However, just in case that during the questions and answer period, we have a question that requires to look at a picture, we have included additional pictures at the end. Let's go to slide number 3, please. This is what is the new Explorer, WebSphere MQ Explorer. In version 5 of MQ, there is an MQ Explorer that works only on Windows and is available using the Microsoft console. However, it is only available in Windows and is not available in Unix or other platforms. In version 6, we decided to have a more broader kind of utilities. And we combined the two previous windows that we had in the Windows Explorer version 5, into one that is based on the Eclipse platform. It is a graphical user interface, and it provides the capability to configure and monitor remote WebSphere MQ queue managers and the objects they contain, such as queues and channels and things like that. And now the advantage is that we can run not just on Windows, but we can run on Windows and Linux in the Intel platform. For convenience, when we say Linux in the rest of this presentation, we just mean Linux and Intel. When you use the MQ Explorer version 6, you can connect to all supported queue managers. For example, you can connect to MQ managers at 5.3 in Windows and Linux and so on, and they require the 6-pack 10 or later. And also you can connect to MQ managers version 6 and different platforms. There are two main exceptions. One is if you want to use MQ in ZOS, it has to be version 6. You cannot work with version 5.3, and my colleague Beverly will tell you more details about that. And the other is support MQ series version 2 queue managers. Those are the exceptions. Let's go to slide number 4, please. These are some considerations to use the MQ Explorer. There are two main things that you have to keep in mind. The MQ Explorer is not good for large queue managers. The reason is that if you have queue managers that have, let's say, thousands of queues, the information for each queue will have to be transferred from the remote queue manager to the MQ Explorer, and then the performance of the MQ Explorer will suffer. You will see very slow response. Then if you just have few queues or few objects, few queue managers, that's a very good way to use the MQ Explorer. The second is for clusters. If you are, the clusters will be presented in a tree structure, and the information on each queue manager will be shown only when you expand it or select the item. Then if there is not the transfer of every single object for the queue managers in a cluster when you are seeing it in the MQ Explorer. I want to add a few more things in the terms of considerations. One of the things that the MQ Explorer is very good is it will save you a lot of typing. Then if you want to modify this one attribute for a queue, for example, you can just use the GUI and select the specific queue, and then you can just change the attribute right there. You don't have to go and run the run MQSC and specify, remember what is the syntax and things like that. Then it saves quite a lot of time. Therefore, it's also very good for novice queue managers, queue administrators, because they can be proficient very fast without knowing the details of the complexities of the syntax for running the run MQSC or trying to run the listeners and things like that. And one thing that the MQ Explorer is not really good at is if you want to create a large number of objects, let's say that you want to create 20 queues. Well, you will have, for each queue, you will have to actually go through all the steps in each, the wizard for every single time. Then you have to run the wizard of creating a new queue 20 times for 20 queues. Therefore, this task is better if you use a batch file and just modify the specific things. You can copy one command and replicate it several times in the script, modify the few attributes that need to be changed, and then you can run the run MQSC utility. That's much faster than trying to run the wizard 20 times. And one more example of what you can use do with MQ Explorer. You can be this can be a learning tool or a training tool, because you can explore, you can create a default queue, for example, and then you can take a look at what are the defaults for all the different attributes. That's also one way of learning the product. Let's go to slide 5, please. This is what you can do with the WebSphere MQ Explorer. Right there in the first line, we are telling you something that you cannot use the MQ Explorer, but let me explain you. The MQ Explorer is very helpful for local queue managers. For example, if you have the MQ Explorer in Windows or in Linux, in that local machine, you can create, delete, start and stop a queue manager that is local to that machine, okay? Now, for the rest of the items in this slide, these items you can do with a remote queue manager. For a remote queue manager that is included in the MQ Explorer, you can define, display, and alter objects, such as queues and channels. You can put, get, and browse messages on a queue. This is very, very nice because you don't have to use the single samples in order to put a message, create a message, get a message or browse it and so on. Also, you can use these MQ Explorer. I use this particular feature quite a lot when I'm not so sure if I have the proper connectivity with a remote queue manager or if I want to verify that the channels are up and running and so on. Instead of going through all the different things, I go directly into the queue and I just put a message and I just try to get it. And also the GUI will tell you what is the current depth in the queues and so on. Then it will refresh it also, the screen, every few seconds. And then it's a very monitoring tool. I don't have to type run MQSC all the time to see the current depth for a queue. I keep just watching the GUI when I need to monitor that there's an activity in the queue. You can start and stop a channel. You can view status information about a channel, a listener, a queue, and service objects. For example, when a channel is, or a listener is up and running, you can see, you have a visual indicator with a green arrow that is up or a red arrow that is down to indicate that it's down and so on. You can modify the properties of queue managers. You can start or stop the service trace. And one thing that with respect to the Explorer version 5.3 is that in 5.3 you have two different windows, the services and the Explorer itself. These have been merged into a single one. They just have a single place for contact. And you can see also the notes in this slide for additional actions. Next slide, please, which is slide number 6, prerequisite software. When you install the MQ Explorer in Windows or in Linux, you will be installing also the Eclipse version 3 platform. And when you start the MQ Explorer, it will start in standalone mode, which is recommended for new users. It is a simplified version. You don't have the other bells and whistles that you could have in the Eclipse platform. But you have the option, if you want to choose from the preferences, you can decide to see the whole Eclipse platform. But again, this is not recommended for new users. The recommendation is to use the standalone mode. You can use only TCP/IP connections. You cannot use LUs. You can use only TCP/IP. TCP/IP is the only communication protocol supported. It handles the differences in the capabilities between different command levels and platforms. For example, it can work with the version 5.3 queue managers, and there are some new attributes in version 6. But when it's dealing with a version 5.3, it knows which attributes not to ask, for example. And you will need CSD10 for Windows and Unix if you are using MQ 5.3 queue managers, and CSD11 for iSeries. Now, for this presentation, we use the latest version available, which is 6.0.1.1, and in Windows. There are two important APARTs that you may want to consider to installing. The first mention is IC49051, which to allow authorize non-NQM users to view queues from the remote queue manager. We'll explain about this later on. The fix for this APART is targeted for 6.0.2. The interim fix is available through the MQ support team. Then you will have to contact support in order to get the interim fix. For the second APART mentioned in this slide, IC49065, to allow non-NQM users to start sub channels only when proper authority is granted. It is included already in 6.0.11, and you can download it right now. Let's go to the next page, please, slide number 7, which is how to start the Explorer. To start the Explorer, both in Windows and Linux, go to a line command, command prompt and just type the following MQ command, strnqcfg, *MQ configuration. In Windows, you have the added bonus that you can click on an icon that is from the programs, IBM WebSphere MQ group, and then you can select the WebSphere MQ Explorer. And again, the Explorer starts in standalone mode. Next slide, please, slide number 8, and is the screen capture of the Explorer. There are two main components in the GUI. We have the left panel, which is the navigator, and we have the right panel, which is the contents. In the left panel, the navigator, we have a structure in which is we start with IBM WebSphere MQ. If you double and right-click on that one, you will have some selections such as the trace, which will be the trace for the entire subdirectories that are or folders that are mentioned later on. And once you have it, once you open the IBM WebSphere MQ, the top node in the tree, then you will have two nodes, the queue managers and the queue managers clusters. We will not talk about the clusters in this presentation. Then let's go back to the queue managers. That's the first folder. When you open the queue managers, if you have defined some queue managers in that one, then you will see entries for each of those two managers. In this case, I have a local QM Angelillo, which is a local queue manager, and then you can see what is the different subnodes. We have queues, and we have the advanced folder in which we have channels, client connections, listeners, services, process definitions, name list, authentication information. The second entry in that tree, we have a QM underscore Ver2 on Veracruz, which is, this is a remote entry for a queue manager that resides in a Linux machine. In this case, we have selected the queues in the queue manager, in the navigator panel, in the left panel. In the right, we have the corresponding panels for the queues for that queue manager. In this case, we have three queues. The first one is a local queue, Q1. The second is a Q1 underscore Veracruz, which is a remote definition for a remote queue. And the third one is a QM Veracruz, which is a transmission queue for that queue manager. And let's go to the next slide, number 9, which is getting help on the Explorer. From the WebSphere MQ Explorer, you can select the help from the top menu. And from the left panel in the new window, you can select WebSphere MQ Help Center because there will be several other options, mostly regarding to the clips. And then you can see the description of all the MQ objects handled by the Explorer if you select the administrator, and then you can further expand into the objects and properties. And there is a really good summary of all the attributes that you can change in the different wizards and windows, and the items are listed in this slide. Let's go to slide number 10, please. The title is How to Set Up a Remote Queue Manager for Remote Administration for an MQ Admin. Let me explain you this scenario a little bit more. Okay, you have downloaded the MQ Explorer components. You have installed it. You have clicked, and it's up and running. You are working in Windows. And you have logged on into that Windows machine to a user ID that has a that you want to become an MQ administrator on the remote queue manager. Well, one of the requisites that is needed is the following. If my user ID, let's say my last name, Rivera, if I want to do MQ administration tasks in the remote queue manager, well, I have to go to that remote queue manager, and I have to have a user ID that is also called Rivera. The user IDs need to match. In that remote queue manager, that Rivera user ID has to belong to the MQM group in Unix. Otherwise, I will not be considered an MQ administrator, and I will have authority errors when I try to get to the queue manager. Then the first thing that you have to do is create a user ID in the remote queue manager that corresponds to that user ID from your MQ Explorer. The second thing is that the remote queue manager needs to be up and running. You cannot create a remote queue manager from an MQ Explorer. Only local queue managers, not remote ones. Furthermore, besides being created, it has to be up and running because you cannot start it from the MQ Explorer. The MQ Explorer deals with remote queue managers that are up and operational. Another requisite is that the command server in that remote queue manager needs to be up and running. Otherwise, you will not, if the command server is not running, it will not get the commands sent by the Explorer. Second, another requisite is that the TCP/IP listener in the remote queue manager needs to be up and running. Otherwise, you will not receive the communication from the MQ Explorer. And there are two objects that need to exist. One is a server connection channel. If it doesn't exist, you have to create it. And we provide the details on how to create that object inside the notes of this slide. By the way, we include also the details how you can check that the command server is running. If it's not running, then how to start it. The same thing with the TCP/IP listener. If the TCP/IP listener is not up and running, we have instructions in the notes on how you can start it. Well, the server connection channel, going back to that topic, is the system.admin.servcon. And there is one more object that needs to exist, is the system.mqexplorer.reply.model, which is a system model queue. And this second object, the reply model, is already provided in version 6. But if you're using a queue manager that is in version 5, you will need to create this particular queue reply model. Let's go to the next slide, please. And it is slide number 11, adding a remote queue manager to the GUI. Now, once you have the remote queue manager ready to go, then this is what you need to do from the remote, from the MQ Explorer. You log on as the user ID that has a counterpart in the remote system. In this particular example, I log on as my user Rivera in the Windows machine. I have already a Rivera user ID in the Linux remote queue manager. And I start the MQ Explorer. And now I go to the left panel, and I right-click on the folder queue managers. And this is where it gets tricky, and that's the reason we wanted to show you step-by-step in this particular action. There are two choices when you do the right-click on the queue managers folder. One, the top one, is show hide queue managers, and the second is new. Most of the time, people will select the new entry. And when you select the new entry, you are trying to create a local queue manager, a new local queue manager. It's not trying to set up a new remote definition for a queue manager in the similar principle as a remote queue, which is just a definition of a remote queue. Well, the new is just for local queue managers. Then we can discard that option, and we have to go to the first one, which is show and hide queue managers. Once you click on that one, you will see a particular window. It's called show hide queue managers. And then you can do add, and you will have a wizard where you can enter what is the host name, what is the port number, and then you have several other options if you want to have show it and so on. There are several other options. And then when you say finish, then the remote queue manager will be shown in the left panel underneath the queue managers folder. In the nodes, we have also instructions on how you can remove the queue manager. There are two steps, but they are mentioned in the notes, and we don't want to get into too many details. They are in the notes. And by the way, once you have an entry in that for the queue managers, you cannot edit the name. You have to remove the queue manager entry and create a new one, add a new one. Okay? Let's go to slide number 12, please, which is the scenario, login as MQ admin. Create new local queue, put and browse messages. Well, this scenario builds on the previous slides in which, okay, you have created the queue manager, and so far you just see all the objects that you have in the queue manager, but let's assume that it's a new queue manager over there, then you will not see anything in the queues because by default you are not seeing the system queues and system objects, and we'll talk more about that in a coming slide. Then in this moment, let's visualize. We have the tree, we have the folders, queue managers, we have one entry, which is our remote queue manager. I click on that queue manager. Now I have an empty queues and an empty all the stuff. Then I click on the folder queue, and now I don't see any queues. Well, now it's time for us to add a new queue, to create or define a new queue into that remote queue manager. What we do is this. Again, this scenario is building on top of the previous slides. Then I go to the queues folder, right-click, and select New. And I will have four options, local queue, remote queue, model queue, transmission queue. And then what I do is select local queue, and I follow a wizard in which I create the local queue. I can specify different attributes if I want, or I can just say finish, and it will create the new queue. Now, let's go back to the left panel. Let's visualize again. We have the hierarchy of queue managers. We have the queue, the remote queue manager that we are working with. And we have queues, and now we see one queue. Let's say that it's called queue one. Then if I click on that one, on the right button, I will have several choices in the context menu. One of these choices will be put test message. If you click on that one, you will see a little wizard in which you can enter a single text. Usually, it's no more than 100 characters. It's just a test message. Then you can enter, and you say, click, done. And then you can dismiss that window. And now, from that queue in the right side, in the contents panel, you can verify that in the column called current depth, you can see that the number changed from 0 to 1, indicating that there is a message in the queue. Now, what you can do is right-click on that queue in the right panel, and then you will see the context menu, and instead of selecting the put message, you can say browse messages. When you are browsing, you are just looking at the context of messages without removing them from the queue. Then, once you select the browse messages, you will see a window that will have the browse messages, which is a very nice utility because you can have, you can compare all the different queues, the messages that you have in that queue. You can scroll to the, horizontally to the left or to the right, and you can see all the different attributes for the queue, for the messages. If you select one particular message, then you will see a different, like a notebook kind of display. And you can see the, go to the different tabs and see the contents. For example, you can see what is the actual data, you will have it in the different headers and so on. Let's go to slide number 13, please, which is show system objects. By default, you are going to see in the right panel only the objects that are not part of this, that do not begin with a system dot, like system objects. In our case, for example, we'll see only three queues. Q1, Q Veracruz, QM Veracruz, etc. But if I really wanted to see the different, all the queues that are available, including the system queues, I would select the first icon that is on the menu, and it is, has a plus and a minus, and it's show system objects. This is a toggle. If you click it once, then you will see all the system queues together with your queues. If you click it again, you will hide the system queues. And let's go to slide number 14, please. Set up for non-administrators to only work with certain queues. Okay. The previous scenario, again, you are an MQ administrator, and you are able to see all the queues. You can see all the channels. You can see all the listeners. You can see everything because you are a queue and an in-queue administrator, and you want to do things. You want to alter the queue. You want to see all the stuff. However, there are some situations in which you would like to give, let's suppose that you have 10 queues, but there are two people that are really interested in monitoring two particular queues. One person that is really interested in monitoring two particular queues, and you want to give, to grant access to that person for those two queues and only those two queues. That person should not see the other eight queues and should not do things that could damage the other objects in the system. Then this is the scenario that we want to cover. It's a, we call it an intermediate scenario. It's not the basic one. It's an intermediate one. And you want to make sure that this user has only certain actions on those queues. Well, first of all, right now you will need to install the APAR IC49051. This is, the fix is provided in 6.02, which is going to be available soon. And if for an interim fix, you have to contact the NQ support team, and we can provide you with the interim fix. The problem is, if you don't install this APAR, you can follow the steps that we mentioned in the next slide, and that person will not see the queues. And that could be very frustrating, because you are setting up everything fine, but it's just that you need to apply this APAR. Okay, let's go to page slide number 15, please, which is part two of that scenario. Well, what you need to do is in the remote queue manager system, you have to, in the remote system, the root user ID has to create a user ID that for that user that you want to give partial access, and this user should not be part of the MQM group. Let's suppose that you create a group called MQ Viewer or MQ Monitor or something like that. And when you create a user ID, you assign the primary group or one of the groups to this MQ Viewer group. And you will have to do certain MQ commands using the set MQ authorization command, set MQ AUT, in order to grant certain actions, authorities. Otherwise, the person will not be able to do, to see objects and act upon them. In Unix, the authorities are granted at the group level, which means that if you change the authority to one person, in all the people, all the other users who belong to the same group in the primary group of that person will be changed. And one of the things that you have to keep in mind is that the queue manager, when it starts, it gathers all the security information and keeps it in a cache. Therefore, if you later on create a new user ID or modify group permissions, the queue manager will not see those actions, because it's not refreshing the cache all the time. It's only during the initialization, or only if you explicitly tell it, oh, queue manager, you have to refresh the authorities. And that's a command called refresh security that is a run NQSC command. There are two commands that can be used to display the authorities, and they are displayed at great length in the notes. It's called display NQAuth and dump NQAuthorities. Let's go to slide number 16, please, which is the part three. These are the authorities that need to be granted. The first one is you have to grant authority to access the queue manager. It makes sense. This is the top-level authority. If you don't have this authority, you cannot see the queue manager at all. Okay. The second one is you have to grant authority to the client channel to get the command server reply messages. The third authority is you want to authority to grant authority to put messages onto the command server, because it says, show me this queue. Well, that command needs to go into the command server. You need to grant access. The final authority is you have to give them the authority to get the reply messages from the NQ Explorer. And we have provided to you all the commands with the specific instructions. And there are more details also in the notes. Let's go to slide number 17, please. This is the part four. Okay. Up to the previous slide, at this moment, the non-NQ administrator user, the one that is going to be the monitor, will not be able still to see the queue that you want that person to monitor. Well, he has all the proper granted authorities to look at the queue manager and to interact with the system. What you need to do now is, now that those basic authorities are done, now you can concentrate on giving the proper authorities for the objects that you want that person to monitor. In this case, Q1, a local queue that is called Q1. Well, this is the command that is shown in this slide that to allow the person to display, for example. You can say put and get and things like that. And if you want to also allow the person to display channels on the queue manager, there are also the commands, and there are more details in the notes. Okay. At this moment, I would like to ask my colleague, Beverly Brown, to continue with the discussion of this topic. Beverly?
Hello, this is Beverly Brown. We will be on slide 18 now. And I have just one slide that will list some considerations for iSeries. Since iSeries is basically built on the same base code as the Unix and Windows key managers, most of the concepts are the same. There were just a few options that would be different in the administration. And one of those would be that rather than the MQM group we referred to earlier, you would use the QMQM-ADM group on iSeries. And some of the other commands that were used in setting up security, there will be different commands on iSeries, and there is a tech note, number 108-1480, again, 108-1480, which you can just go to the IBM website and search for that number, and that will pull up information about those commands. Angel also had mentioned refreshing the security on iSeries. That command would be RFR MQM aut. And then the comparable option to display the security, there is an AMQ AOMD tool, or there's also a utility RTV MQM aut, and that would dump the key manager security, but you would need to contact level 2 support to obtain the RTV MQM aut. Now, if we proceed, this is considerations for ZOS. The requirements for ZOS. Angel had referred to this earlier, that to do remote administration for ZOS, version 6 is required. The reason for this is that version 6 is the first ZOS release that supports PCF commands. PCF is programmable command format. Some of you may be familiar with doing that. If you're not, don't worry about it. Just know that it is a feature of MQ that is required for this remote administration. If you did want to administer WebSphere MQ for ZOS version 5, there is a support pack, and the number is M as in Mary, O as in Oscar, 71, again, MO71. You can search for that on the IBM website. That provides a GUI that can be used on a Windows machine to remotely administer other key managers, including the ZOS version 5. Another specific requirement for ZOS is that you would need to have the client attachment feature. This is a separately orderable and installable FMID. So you have to have that if you're going to administer using the system admin server con. If you don't have that feature, you will see a CSQX 260E message in the CHIN job log. If the feature is active, you would see CSQX 011I. Now, there is another way to set this up if you don't want to use the client attachment feature, and that's using what's called an intermediate key manager, which when you're doing the add of the key manager and the show hide option on the Explorer, you can say that you want to use a key manager that already has an existing connection with that remote key manager. It's just a little bit more complicated. You will have to have the local key manager running, and the key managers will have to have sender and receiver channels running between them and already active. So there's a little bit more manual effort involved in setting that up. The more seamless option is using the server con option. All right, now let's please proceed to slide 20. One of the other requirements was that the command server is running, and ZOS has some specific command server commands, and you can display the status or you can start and stop the CMD SERV object. You shouldn't have to do that too often, only if something unusual happens, but I just wanted you to be aware of those commands. Sometimes people aren't aware of that. There is another support pack which is called MS0P, as in M as in Mary, S as in Sugar, 0, P as in Paul. This provides an events and statistics plugin, and I have confirmed that that will work with a ZOS key manager as well, where you can look at events or statistics on that ZOS key manager. Let's go to slide 21, please. ZOS has some additional objects that other queue managers won't have and some other functions. When you right-click on the queue manager, you'll see a couple of additional options, and one of those is an arrow to display status, and another is to display configuration. Through the status option, you'll be able to display channel initiator, which is comparable to display DQM or display chinit. You can display log and display usage. And those on the ZOS platform will be familiar with what those different commands will provide to you. And then in the configuration, you'll be able to configure archive logs and configure system and security. And in version 6, there are additional options in the system, so you'll want to be familiar with that. Also, ZOS has an object called storage classes. So underneath the queue manager, there will be an additional folder for the storage classes, which you can create, delete, display, or alter. Then, if you are using queue sharing, where the queue lives on the coupling facility, and your remote queue manager is a member of that queue sharing group, you'll have folders for queue sharing groups and coupling facility structures where you can administer those. So that is a good feature. And if we move on, please, to slide 22, ZOS as well has some different implementation considerations for security. This is assuming that you are using subsystem security. And these commands are for RACF, but you would have equivalent commands if you're using another external security manager. First of all, you would need to set up a couple of profiles, one for each of the model queue for the dynamic reply queues, and also one for the prefix for that dynamic reply queue. Then, in addition, you would need to set authorities to those two entities, and you would need to have update authority to those. You would need to have connect authority to the target queue manager object and any authority to perform the action that you're selecting, and then read authority to the display object profiles in the NQ commands class. One other APAR that you'll need to be aware of that will be on the Explorer side, on the Windows side, is IC50201. And this is a problem where the NQ Explorer, there was a security failure connecting to ZOS. And what was happening was that there was a section of the code that was failing to put the prefix, that AMQ.MQExplorer prefix, on the reply queue. So even if you had authority set up properly, the Explorer was trying to use the wrong name. So you would need that. There is an interim fix available now, so that you can get that from the support center. And if you need more details on how to actually, the commands on setting up all the security, you would see the WebSphere MQ for ZOS system setup guide. And now I will hand back over to Angel for some frequent setup problems.
Let's go to page, slide number 23, please, for frequent setup problems. And before we go that, let me just tell you something about, let's suppose that you want to save the Explorer configuration, and because you want to reinstall or use the Explorer, or you want to provide the information to another person and so on. What you can do is select the top level in the left panel and right-click and choose Export MQ Explorer Settings. And there is a corresponding also for the import setting options. In that way, the other person can import the information into the Explorer. And now let's go back to the topic in this slide. What we decided to do is we wanted to give you a value added for this presentation. And in this slide in particular, there are copious notes about what will happen if one of the steps that we mentioned before is not completely done or is failing. For example, we decided to stop the queue manager, and we decided from the NQ Explorer we are trying to connect to the queue manager. Well, we are getting an error message which is happens to be in the first one in this list, is the 4043, queue manager not available for connection. However, this is not the only problem, too. I mean, it's possible also that the TCP/IP listener is not up and running. Therefore, it still is not available for connection. And it will be the same error message. Then, even though we are having the same error message, there are several possibilities for the situation. And we have documented in the notes in this slide each one of those situations. What happens if the command server is not running? Well, you get the 4032, and then we tell you how to fix it. What happens also if you get the 4059 error message? Well, that's it. You cannot establish the connection. Very likely is you don't have the system admin server con, and we tell you exactly how you can fix it. There is also the connectivity of, okay, what happens if you didn't have the queue model for the reply queues, then you will have these 4400, and again, in the notes, we tell you exactly how to fix it. Okay, then we cover the connectivity problems. Okay, now everything is up and running. The queue manager is up and running. All the proper objects are there. Now, what will happen if we have some authorization problems? And that's the thing that we want to address. The first one is in the second scenario. We talk about non-MQ users. You give them the proper access, those four basic authorities, and then you give access to a queue, for example, only one queue. And this person says, well, I don't get any error messages, and I don't see any queues. The list is empty. Well, very likely is that the APAR IC49051 needs to be added. And this is the A part that is going to be fixed in 602, and the interim fix is available from the MQ support team. Now, there is another thing. Let's suppose that in the second item in this particular subset in the slide, non-MQ users can start and stop channels. Well, let's suppose that I am the person. I can see my single queue there, but I can type commands to start and stop channels. Well, that's an activity that only MQ administrators have to do. And unfortunately, there is a bug, but fortunately, there is a fix for that, and the APAR is IC49065, and it's available in 6011. The third item in this bullet, in this list is, we didn't mention it before, but let's suppose that you create the server connection channel, and for some reason, you decided to modify the MCA user attribute for that channel, and you decided to put it MQM. Well, that's a particular situation in which you are opening up all the queue manager to everybody. Everybody can connect to the queue manager as a QM MQ administrator. Therefore, this is not a really safe or way to proceed. And the best way to do it is if the MQ, the user who is not an MQ administrator says, well, I can see all the queues, I can manipulate them, well, I'm not supposed to do that. Well, the solution is to remove the value in the MCA user attribute. Finally, let's suppose that you think that you give the permission to Q1, but the user is thinking, well, I can see Q2, but I cannot see Q1. When I try to do it, I get access not permitted, the error 4036. Then, again, in the notes, we tell you more details about that particular error. And at this time, I would like to transfer the control of the meeting to Beverly for more details.
Okay, let's proceed to slide 24 now. And this will be just some more general information about resources for WebSphere and Q. First of all, we have the WebSphere and Q support site with the URL there. And that is a very good site to mark as a favorite or as a bookmark. There is quite a bit of information you can get to from there. You can search for known problems. You can access the library of manuals. You can see flashes, get downloads, access support packs, and on and on, many various options. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier was a TechNote. Just to describe that a little bit better, a TechNote is a document that describes a reported customer problem and the currently available solution to that problem. It may just be some how-to information about installation, configuration, troubleshooting, or usage, or frequently asked questions, or it may refer to
another MQA PAR or an APAR for another product. So if you search the MQ product for your symptoms, you know, you get a message or have just a keyword that you'd like to search on, do that, and there will be a good bit of self-help information from this website. I also alluded to the manuals. If you click on the manuals option or the library option on the left-hand side of the screen, you will be presented with some tabs, and you can go to the version 6 tab, and there you will see an information center. You can download it to your system, or there is an online version of the Info Center that you can use. And you can search all of the manuals or narrow it down to just one manual. That's very useful to look up information. There is a red book of WebSphere MQ version 6 fundamentals. And then we also have a category of tech notes that we call must gather. That's all one word, must gather. That describes documentation required for a problem and also has a lot of hints and tips. There is a specific must-gather item for remote administration topic, and that number is 1178330. So, again, if you go there, that will describe some of the common problems and solutions and describe how to turn on tracing if you should need to work with the support center on a problem with the Explorer itself. And then slide 25, just some other general information is the WebSphere technology site. You can see other upcoming webcasts, conferences, and events. There is an option for user group communities, access demos and tutorials, and so on. You can sign up to receive weekly technical My Support emails. This will include information such as flashes, updates to support packs or new support packs, and information about the webcast. You can tailor it to the information you would like to receive that you would receive once a week email. And then options to attend the technical exchange conferences. Now, we would like to open this up to any questions and answers that you may have.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question today, you may do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And if you're using a speakerphone today, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. And we'll pause for just a brief moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal. And as a reminder, that is star 1, and we'll go to Hal Kaplan. Please go ahead.
Could you explain MH01, the MQ Explorer Health Check plugin?
Hello. Yes, there is a plugin that you mentioned, the Health Check plugin. The idea of this plugin is to extend the functionality of the MQ Explorer by having some rules that you can allow the plugin to run and find out, for example, between two queue managers, if you have a channel that begins in one queue manager, but the other queue manager doesn't have the corresponding channel and things like that. That kind of rules can be catched in the health check plugin. It is available as a support pack. Did I answer your question?
Yes, I guess I was expecting additional details, but that's fine.
Okay, could you send me please an email to my address, and then I can give you more details?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star 1. And we'll go next to Richard Shearing.
Hi. Yes, I was wondering if the APAR IC49051 that allows the non-MQM users access to the Explorer, does that also apply to the RunMQSC function?
Could you explain a little bit more details how you plan to
use it? Well, like currently the RunMQSC command for like Linux and Windows, that requires MQM administration authority.
Okay.
So suppose you wanted to allow somebody to use RunMQSC to just, you know, browse certain queues, just the same way that the APAR allows the Explorer access to non-MQM users. I was just wondering if that APAR also applied to the RunMQSC function.
Well, right now we are looking at the description for the APAR, and it just mentions the Explorer. But if you can send me an email, let me investigate if there is a corresponding APAR for the RunMQSC command.
Okay. And I was also curious if you can run the Explorer from a client, or do you have to have, is the queue manager on the local server a requirement to run the Explorer?
To run the Explorer, you need to install.
In other words, can you run it completely remotely, the Explorer? Can you just install the Explorer component and the client on a workstation?
Or to be honest, I have not really tried that scenario, but let me tell you that if you just download the client, the Explorer is not part of the client. The client is just in a support pack, and they are just really the line commands and the APIs and so on. But I'm sorry, but let me try that particular scenario. What I was planning to do is just in a machine in which I don't have MQ Explorer, MQ at all, I will just download the server because the MQ Explorer is provided with the server, but I will not install the queue manager, and then you can use the MQ Explorer. Maybe right now I'm answering your question because you need to download the or you need to have the CD or download it in the server because
it is part
of the component of the server. Yes.
Yeah, and it probably requires a server, but I was just curious about that because I installed MQ on a Linux platform, but when I got to the install of that component, it said that it required Mozilla. It said Mozilla 1.4.3 or greater is required. So I guess the Unix or the Linux server doesn't have Mozilla installed on it.
Yes, and it's for the help.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to use the help, you need to have Mozilla. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to the Unix administrator about that. Do you know if there would be some particular reason they wouldn't have Mozilla on there? Is there some kind of security or?
Well, Mozilla, there are some security security fixes that are provided by Mozilla. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to keep upgrading my system every few months for every security fix for Mozilla. And they may decide not to install it.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we'll go next to James Scurlock.
Thank you. Do you have to use the system.admin.servercon, or can I use a different one? And can that different channel be SSL enabled?
Okay. For the let me answer the question. For the servercon, it has to be that particular channel. You cannot use another one. And for this SSL enable?
Yes, this is Beverly. I'm looking into WebSphere MQ Help to get a more specific answer, but I do seem to recall that to use SSL, you would need the sender-receiver pair, that you need to use the intermediate queue manager option. And let's see, the Help Center.
I do know I can use other ServerCon channels and have them to be SSL enabled. I just wondered if the system can be modified to be the same.
Yes, I believe that it had to be the regular channel. I apologize. It's taking just a moment for this search to complete. If it doesn't complete in just a couple of seconds, we can get back with you. Okay, yes, if you do search the Explorer help, and you can, it helps if you're looking for just the Explorer to narrow the search scope to WebSphere MQ Explorer help, just that one document. I searched on SSL, and let's see. Well, configuring the SSL channels. There is an SSL configuration page, and there is a topic saying configuring SSL on WebSphere MQ clients. So actually, you may be able to do that. Yeah, again, as Angel had said before, if you send an email, we can spend a little bit more time getting a more complete answer to that.
Could I send an email to?
To, let's see, Rivera.
R-I-V-E-R-A, at us.ibm.com.
Okay.
Or Craigbev, C-R-A-I-G-B-E-V, at us.ibm.com.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And with no further questions, I'd like to turn the conference back over to Ms. Christy Snyder for additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Stacy. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. Remember, a replay of this presentation will be available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange site early next week. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Anhel and Beverly, for presenting.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's call. We thank you for your participation, and you may disconnect at this time.